I thought it was going to be a standalone message, but God really kind of impressed on me to really go in a little bit further with this idea. And so we talked about the upside down kingdom. We talked about 2 weeks ago the principles of the upside down kingdom, if you were here a couple of weeks ago. And it's not like the upside down world in Stranger Things, if you watch that. It's not the upside down. That's a different, totally different thing than what we're talking about today. You're like, oh, Stranger Things. Anyway, don't worry about it. It's okay. But it is, the kingdom of God is the upside down kingdom. And really, it's really, from God's perspective, it's the right side up kingdom. It's upside down to us because we live in this kind of crazy world, right? But we talked about a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the word gospel. The word gospel is the word in the Greek, it's euangelion. Everybody, let's all say that together. Say euangelion. Euangelion. Yes, euangelion. It sounds like a planet in Star Trek world, right? Euangelion. I'm going to euangelion. But it's euangelion. It's good news or the good message or a good announcement is the word, the way it's translated. It actually comes from a Hebrew. It has to do with a Hebrew word. The idea comes from, in Hebrew, the basar or the sara, when that was like an announcement of good things. And in particular, an announcement, I got to be careful because Greg Dove's here today, but in particular, that the announcement of a new king is here. So that when like the death of David happened, the basara went out to, the basar went out to declare that there was a new king, right? There's a new king, and his name was Solomon. So when we talk about euangelion, it's a lot more, when we think about the good news, we mostly just think about that Jesus came and died for our sins, which is true. But that's not all. That has to do with the new kingdom and the new king, right? The good news is that, yes, Jesus died for our sins, but the good news is there's a new king. There's a new king, and his name is Jesus. So when we talk about the good news, it's about the kingdom, that there's a new king, and that new king brought in a new kingdom, a new way of doing things. So how do we know that? Well, I'm glad you asked. It is all through the gospel. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 31 and 33, our Christmas scripture, right? It says, it's the angel talking to Mary. The angel declared the new kingdom. When the angel said, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, for he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And God will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. For his kingdom will never end. The angel was announcing Jesus, but he was also announcing the new king. He was announcing the new kingdom. John the Baptist came pronouncing the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 3, it reads this, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And then Jesus came. We know Jesus came preaching the kingdom in Mark chapter 1. In verse 14, it says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom is here. Repent and receive the what? The euangelion. I'm so glad. The euangelion. Everybody say euangelion. He said, repent and believe the euangelion. Believe the new good news. And in Luke chapter 4, Jesus said it again. At daybreak, Jesus went out in a solitary place. The people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because this is why I was sent. Jesus says, this is why I was sent, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom to the other towns also. And then listen to this. This is kind of a different kind of scripture. In Acts chapter 1, this is after the resurrection. And it says this in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. He says, after suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive, talking about Jesus. He appeared to them for over a period of 40 days. Jesus was after he was resurrected on here for 40 days. And he spoke about the what? The kingdom of God. So this kingdom idea is not just a side issue. This kingdom idea is a big deal. When we talk about the good news, it's the good news of the kingdom, which has to do with yes, Jesus died for your sins and created a new person on the inside of you, right? And that when you die, you get to go to heaven, right? Like, that's part of the good news, but it's only part of it. Like, if we're people of the kingdom, if we're people of Jesus, if we're followers of Jesus, that means then that we're followers of his kingdom because he is the king. See, let me just aside, we don't do kings in America. Like, my buddy Paul's not here, he's from England. We did away with kings. Like, we got rid of him and we went, democracy. That's not the kingdom. The kingdom is with a king. And the king has ways about him. And the kingdom has principles about it. And the way the king orders things is the way things are. Right? There is a king. Right? And that God goes so against everything. Like, isn't there like, don't we have like representatives? Like, you know, yeah, it's Jesus. He's our representative in heaven. And he's also the king. So when we talk about the kingdom, we talk about the ways of Jesus. One of the basically the principles of the kingdom are found, first of all, they're found in the Sermon on the Mount. And we talked about the Sermon on the Mount. You want to go and find out like a brief little three chapters of in Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7 of what the kingdom is all about? Go read the Sermon on the Mount. And you'll find out that it's an upside-down kingdom. It's an upside-down kingdom where the last will be first, right? It's an upside-down kingdom when it talks about the way we treat other people and how we deal with other people. It's an upside-down kingdom when we think we know what the commandments of God are and God says, no, they're much higher than that. The kingdom has to do with our own hearts. When he talks about, I've never committed adultery. And Jesus says, well, if you had lust in your heart, you committed adultery. Ouch. Like, that's a different way of looking at things, right? It's not as technical as all that. Right? And if you have anger in your heart, you're a murderer. Like, those are things that we go, Jesus, like, really? No, but see, Jesus looks at things a different way than we do. He says, you know, he talks about the way, he says, someone hits you on the cheek, offer him the other cheek. Like, I don't know if you knew, that's still in the Bible. That's still in the Bible. Like, if somebody steals from you, hand something else to them. Like, it's a kingdom where, let me just say it, it's a kingdom where you are not number one. It's a kingdom where others are number one. And you belong to the king. That should have been the altar call that got you down forward one Sunday morning or one youth service or whatever. Then you gave your heart to Jesus. Like, it's a lot more than just, I know Jesus. I'm going to heaven when I die. I've got the gospel. I'm going to heaven when I die. Ish. Right? So Jesus got real quiet in here. So we see in the garden. So I want to talk about it a little bit different, a different way this morning. We see in the garden. See, the garden was the way it was supposed to be. Right? The garden was the time where Adam and Eve, that God gave Adam and Eve, and he gave Adam dominion. and he says, hey, this is the way you're going to do things. And God's vision for earth was the garden, where people dwelled with God. People were with God. That God was, we did things God's way. And if you think about it, if you put it into perspective, like what is God's way? We know that God is what? God is, starts with L, love. We'll say it together. God is love, right? So can you imagine an earth filled with nothing but the love of God and people loving other people, right? And sharing and generosity. Generosity to other people and giving and kindness. That was the way it was supposed to be. But they decided, mankind decided, it's kind of optional. It's kind of not really the way we should really do it. We should kind of, this one little thing won't be a big deal. I know he said, I can eat of every single thing that's out there, but not that one tree. But that's the one that they're going to eat from, right? So the people rebelled. Mankind rebelled. And he said, well, it was Adam and Eve. And then it continued in rebellion. People wanted to do things their own way and push God out of the garden and push God out of their decision-making and the way they think. See, the vision was the kingdom. The vision of God was the kingdom of God. But then selfishness, greed, and people doing things their own way. You know, God, I know those are some pretty good ideas of how we should do things, but there's a couple of things that I think I got better on you. I think if I just do this, then the things will go better. It's our own way, and it's our own ideas of doing things. So what's that produce? What has selfishness and self-exaltation done to our culture? Well, right off the bat, there's a murder. Jealousy, anger. Then there's lying, cheating, wars. Questioning God's character, self-ambition. And isolation. Broken relationships, friendships, family problems, depression, addiction, drunkenness, drug use. I think things are much better than the way God planned it. Not so much. See, when we choose to do things our own way, we reap those benefits, if you will, benefits. I was struggling with that word because it's not a benefit, right? The consequences of those actions. We reap those things. When we choose to go outside, see, God is life. We were made, I love what John Eldridge says, you were made for Eden. You were made to live in right standing with God. You were made to live in accordance with the kingdom. That's the way we were made. It's in us. That's why you see glimpses of different things, even outside the church and outside of Christianity and outside religion. There's kindness, right? It's like there's something about it that's in us because we're made in the image of God. But then there's that sin nature that's on the inside also that rebels against the things of God. When I say, no, my way, I want it my way. Right? I did it my way. Oh, I thought that was a terrible way to end your life. Now that the time is near, the end is near. Right? I did it my way. And God said, oops. This is not the plan. Like what you see in our culture was never the plan. What are the effects? The effects on the world are obvious. Just like anger. Take anger, for instance. You go, well, I'm not really an angry person. Well, just allow that guy in front of you not to go the nanosecond that light turns green. That light turns green and they're not going, like, you know, you're, it's like a, the light's green, right? I literally did that yesterday. I wasn't paying attention. That's why it's in my notes. I was literally sitting at a light, and I wasn't paying attention. The light was, and man, I got lit, like the long horn, not the beep, not the nice little beep. It was the angry horn, right? I was going to ask you how many of you have done the angry horn. I got the angry horn. And then it was the worst. I'll just say this. It was the worst because I missed the next. It turned red. I felt so terrible. I felt awful because I made the guy behind me. No, I didn't even get through. I was tempted. Just go through and just leave that guy in the dust. But I didn't because the kingdom. What about when things don't go our way? Just not even the big things, the little things. They don't go our way. And all of a sudden you're angry and you're mad and you're, well, I deserve to be angry. Really? It's exposing when you realize how self-absorbed we are. And how single-minded purposed we are. And it's just about me. And if you interrupt my world, my aura, then there's going to be a battle. If my wife only did this, then we could have a happy marriage. If my husband would just do this, then I could probably start being nice to him. See how self-motivated that is? When Jesus, the gospel, the good news, the kingdom has to do with generosity and giving and others. We look at anger, we look at selfishness. We look at only looking out for ourselves, right? It's just about me. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Take what I can get. Theft. People don't have we don't have integrity because it's inconvenient. Because I don't want to have integrity, because if I have integrity, it may go not so good for me. If I don't exaggerate my sales, then my boss isn't going to be happy with me. I forgot to clock out for lunch. Nobody will know. It's all good. I won't write it in. Oh, I know. I'm meddling. Man, we've created a world where man, individuals, are in control. I decide what's right and wrong. What's right for me, it's right for me. That's not a kingdom mentality. That's not a person submitted to a king. My morals are not dictated by anyone, including God. Don't tell me what's right and wrong. Our world is, welcome to our post-Christian America. Well, what's wrong is right, and what's right is wrong, and whatever's your truth. Well, let's not point the finger too much, because we do it ourselves. Our morals aren't dictated, including, nobody dictates my morals. Nobody can tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. My boss can't tell me what to do. That's fine. You can get fired. Like, since when, like, is, like, I don't know if we know or not that they pay you to do the job. Yeah. You know why they pay you to do the job? Because nobody would do it for free. So they pay you. Well, I wouldn't do it this way. Cough up about 150 grand, start your own business. Sorry. I can cheat a little, right? Like, and in Luke, let's bring it down. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the kingdom. I'm talking about doing things God's way, the way God would have us to be. And not because of some religious idea. It's because we were made for this. Luke chapter 6. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Do we preach these things anymore? Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn and offer the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone asks, if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you're expecting repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting them to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you'll be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. He was kind to us, wasn't He? When we were ungrateful and we're wicked, we don't use that word. That's just a play on wicked. Anybody? Come on. Okay. All right. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. See, we have such a ways to go. I'm going to say this. We have created in our, and why am I teaching this? Because this is what I want to do. I want to counter all of the consumerism Christianity that we've developed in our country. Well, we come to church because I need. Bless me. Please bless me. Bless me. God, bless me. Bless me. Bless me, God. Bless. I'm blessed. And it's true-ish. It's only a part truth. Because according to the kingdom, we're generous. God's called us to generosity. You hear that in Jesus' words? These aren't just like Socrates' words. Like, this is Jesus. Like, give. Be generous. You give and not expecting anything back. Well, I gave my time. What did I get back from? No, give. Yeah. Generous. Give those things to God. He says, God says, hey, you know what? Don't worry about taking vengeance on anybody. He says, I'll take care of them. Right? Leave those things to God. See, really, when we operate in God's kingdom, we're trusting God with the results. When you give and you're generous, we're trusting God that God will supply everything I need. We're getting God involved with our finances, with our action, with our time, our precious time. When we give our time, you give your time to go have lunch with somebody who's going through a difficult situation. You give your time to serve at church. You give your time to serve other people. See, it's the upside down kingdom. There's a guy, his name's Dallas Jenkins. He worked in Hollywood as a small time director. And he had a couple of films, acted in a couple of films, worked in Hollywood. And then he decided that this church came to him, and they said, hey, we want to start making movies. You know, we want faith-based movies. So Dallas Jenkins picked all of his family up, and they moved all the way to, I think it was Chicago. And when he got to the church really wasn't ready to do the kinds of things that Dallas Jenkins had been used to doing on big budgets, you know, budgets and all that kind of stuff. The church really wasn't ready. They didn't have the infrastructure in place and all that that they needed to do. So what he did is he started serving in his local church. And he started just giving his time. He made a clip or something, and for the church service, I think it was a Christmas thing. And somehow a director in Hollywood got a hold of it. It was a movie production company. They got a hold of it. This movie production company, I'll have a point in this in a minute. This movie production company had only did like horror films, like slasher, like major like slasher films. Like that's what he did. And so they wanted to dip their feet into the faith-based movie business. That's hilarious. And then the WWE came alongside and said, "Hey, we want to help." So you have the horror movie producers, and then you have the WWE wanting to help this guy. Yeah, WrestleMania. Jesus, WrestleMania. And they wanted to get together and do these faith-based movies. And they liked his writing style so well, they said, we want to do 10 movies. We want to do movies over the next 10 years with you being the, and you'll hold all the rights to all the content. That's awesome. So he produced a movie. The movie, I got to get the name of it, I want to get that is obviously a very popular movie. It was called The Resurrection of Gavin Stone. You go, I've never heard of that movie. You know why you never heard of that movie? Because it bombed. It bombed. Dallas Jenkins, when everything looked like everything was going his way, everything looked like, look, it's the favor of God. Look at all this stuff. Look what's going on. It bombed. So Dallas Jenkins did some soul searching. He went back to his church, depressed, but he still continued to serve in his church, still continued to serve God. But inward, his dream was just crushed, and there was like no hope for it. His wife came to him. Thank God for godly wives. She came to him and said, God gave me a word for you, for us. He said that God reminded me of the feeding of the 5,000. And he said, and she said, God wants us to know that his math is different than our math. The way he multiplies things is different than the way we multiply things. So he was like, yeah, that's great. That's dream still there. His dream was driving everything. Until he's at his computer about 3 weeks later, I think he said. And he said that he was at his computer and this pop-up came up of a friend of his that was a missionary overseas. And it said, hey, man, I was praying for you. And I felt like I was supposed to share this with you and to remind you of the feeding of the 5,000 and that God, you know, is going to work for you in multiplication. So his arms get... And he said in that moment, he broke. And he said in that moment, he said, God, this is all yours. Only you can bring all this to pass. He says, I quit. He goes, all I want to do is serve you. He said, there's a pre that moment, and now that he said there's a post that moment. Everything changed in that moment. He told God, he said, God, I don't care if you would have for me that I never do a Hollywood movie ever again. He says, I'm okay with that. And you who are visionaries, you who are dreamers, you know how tough of a place that is to get. Especially when you think that's from God. That vision and everything's from God. You give it up. Say, God, it was yours all along. He said, I totally gave it up. He said, I poured everything into this little movie clip for another Christmas thing. And it was a movie about a little mini movie. And it was the nativity from the shepherd's point of view. How would the shepherds see this whole thing? What were the shepherds like? What were they kind of on all their rawness and everything, coming and seeing the star and then Jesus? What was that all about from their point of view? Well, that got put into the hands of this other guy. And so he called him. He said, hey, I have this idea that you would take that idea and spread it through all of the stories of the Gospels. Like, what would it be like the person of Matthew? What would Matthew's backstory be like? And what would it mean to meet Jesus? And he said, yeah. He goes, I'm all about that. That'd be great. He said, yeah, let's do it crowdfunded. And his heart sunk. And went, oh, great. Crowdfunded. He said, okay, I'll do it. He goes, I expected to receive about $800. If you've ever been around crowdfunding, you know, we hear of all the big, huge successes. You don't hear about the 99% of them that you raise like $10. He said, I expected to raise $800. 16,000 investors later, $10 million came in for a crowdfunded movie series to happen. It was the largest crowdfunded movie ever. Because he gave it to God. I'm going to show you about a 4-minute clip. It's a little long. I want to show you a clip of part of this movie. It's the story of Jesus and a leper.
Not to spoil this beautiful day or anything, huh? Come on.
It's a leper. Stay back.
Cover your mouth. Don't breathe his air.
Don't come any closer.
It's okay, John. It's okay.
Rabbi,
you cannot.
His disease, you can.
Please. Please don't turn away from me.
I won't.
Lord, if you are willing, if you can make me clean, only if you want to, I submit to you. My sister, she was a servant at the wedding. She told me what you can do. I know you can heal me if you are willing.
Thank you. I know it.
I knew it. What can I ever do?
No. Do not say anything to anyone.
You don't seek your own honor?
Please just do me this one thing.
But what do I tell people?
Go, show yourself to the priest. Let them inspect you and see that you are cleansed. Make the proper offering in the temple as Moses commanded. And go on your way.
Who has an extra tunic? Just one of you, just one of you. That's enough. Green is definitely your color. Not too shabby.
Hey, it's Dallas and the creator of The Chosen, and if you liked what you just saw and you want to see the episodes of the first ever multi-season show about the life of Christ, you can do so right now for free. Yes, if you get The Chosen app, you can watch these episodes for free right now. You're going to go to thechosen.tv or the Apple Store or Google Play, download the app, and you can watch immediately episodes 1 through 4.
No, this is not everybody's on their app. This is not a commercial for The Chosen. But I will say, I've watched the first 3 episodes, and it's amazing. It's amazing. The way they portray Jesus is amazing. And the way they tell the backstories of different people is pretty amazing. See, there's a part of the kingdom that we deny ourselves and follow Him and follow Jesus. You know what I love about this clip is I love the idea that every one of the disciples were like, don't touch him, don't touch him, don't go near him. But Jesus pushed right through it. Because he was centered on the person. The principles of the kingdom is this. It says in Matthew chapter 16, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, he must first deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever wants to lose his life for my sake will find it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his own soul? What happens when you give up your ways? What happens when you give up your own dreams? What happens when you give up your idea of right and wrong? What happens when you give up your idea of your dreams and your destiny and your this and your that? What happens when you give up all of that stuff and follow Jesus? You'll gain life. The promise is those who lose their life for Jesus' sake and for the sake of the kingdom will find it. I have so many dreams. Like a lot of us. So many wants, so many desires, so many things. A lot of them were good. I mean, then there's, you know, you want to live on the coast in Florida. I mean, there's those. But there's so many dreams, so many things on the inside of us. So many of our own ways that we live and our own moral code that we live by and our own ways that we treat people, and Jesus says, come, follow me, and choose my ways over your ways. Because when you do that, the promise is you'll find your life. And am I there? No, I'm not all the way there. But I will say this, in 25 years of serving Jesus, no, excuse me, 30 years of serving Jesus, I have found this to be true. That if I choose others and I choose the kingdom and I choose walking with God And I choose times where I'm made fun of and teased and joked about and all that kind of stuff. You know what happens when you turn 50 and you spend about 30 years of people telling you you're wrong and following Jesus? After 30 years, you can turn around and go, I was right all along. I was right all along. I look at people and their lives are a wreck because they're doing it their own way. And Jesus says, listen, it is about come follow Jesus and allow Jesus to forgive you of your sin 100%. But Jesus calls you into a much bigger story than just your sins being forgiven. He offers you the kingdom. He offers you a walk in the kingdom. He offers you life that's greater than your own life. Life that you couldn't make happen on your own. This guy who was 20 years old, never been like a two states away from Georgia. And all of a sudden, I followed Jesus. I'm flying all over the world. Only I know that story. Only I knew how I grew up. Only I know only I know what it's like, well, some of you do, to lose your father at 16 and try to figure out how to be a man at 16 without a dad. Some of you know that story. But then to find that as I live for Christ, then God teaches me how to be a husband, how to be the man of my home, how to be a loving father the best I can. I'm still trying, guys. Only God can do that. But it doesn't happen if it's just, following Jesus is just, something I do on Sunday. It happens when you go, no, I am a follower of King Jesus. I am a follower of His. I am a learner of His. I try my best to follow His teachings and the teachings He's still teaching me today. As a follower of Jesus. You know what God has for our church? Good stuff. You know why? Because you know what we're going to be? We're going to be followers of Jesus. And you know what that's going to cause? This church is going to be a light that sit up on a lamp, on a stand, so that everybody can see it. You know what that's going to cause? That's going to cause us to be a city on a hill. That we're not going to be hidden. Because listen, we're going to be people, we're going to be the people of God. That God says, those are my people. They're following after my kingdom and they're following after my kingdom principles. You know what? Like the scripture says that we're peculiar people. That doesn't mean it's because we pray in tongues, right? That doesn't mean that it's because of the way we worship. It doesn't mean because that we have fish stuff everywhere on our computer. It doesn't mean that it's because, no, it's because we're different. We're part of a different kingdom. I was once a part of the kingdom of darkness, but now God has put me into the kingdom of light. Of the kingdom of His Son. That's going to affect the way I think, what I say, and what I do. Because I'm part of the kingdom. And people look at you and they go, you're different. You're peculiar. But there's something about that peculiarness that's drawing me to you. Amen? That's the way we need to be. Listen, I love that God blesses us. I love that God heals. I love that God is part of the kingdom as He saves us. He redeems us. He provides everything we need. I love all that stuff. But first and foremost, I'm a child of the King and in His ways. Amen? Let's all stand together. Come on, just you and Him. Just you and Him. Because listen, this is a you and Him decision. This is a you and Him decision. There's that old song, it says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I'll follow. No turning back. No turning back. So that's you in this place. And you say, you know what? I've allowed Jesus to come into my life. And he's forgiven me. And he set me free from some things. And you're in this place, and you know God is calling you in deeper still. I want to implore you, encourage you with everything in me, that is the pull of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, there is life on the other side if you just bow that knee and just say, Jesus, I give you everything. You'll see if you watch these movies, you'll see if you watch this show, you'll see those fishermen drop their nets and follow Jesus. So God, what would you have me do? I love the leper's response. Whatever you ask me to do, I'll do anything. Are you ready? Are you ready for the ride of your life? To become 100% all in, fully devoted follower of Jesus this morning? Just right where you're at. We don't need to make a show of it. Just right where you're at. Just like that leper. Whatever you want me to do, Jesus, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever you call me to do, I'll do it. I give you everything. I give you everything. I give you my own ways. I turn from my old ways and I follow after you, Jesus. And I choose your ways. I choose others. I choose generosity. Instead of hoarding, I choose generosity. I choose giving. I choose to be a blessing. I choose to be a blessing to my spouse. I choose to be a blessing to my family. I choose to be a blessing to the people around me. I choose to be generous with myself. I choose to be generous with my time with my family. I choose to be generous with myself and my time with my church. I choose to be generous with people who will take advantage of. I choose generosity. I choose your ways, Jesus. That's you this morning, just you and him. Just declare that to him. Just you under your breath right there. Just you and him. Maybe you just say, Jesus, I crown you as king over my life. I choose your ways. I have done my own way. But God, I choose your way. I'm submitted to you. And I thank you, God, that I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you.